Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, a hilarious and acclaimed comedian, actor, podcast host, who you can hear on the podcast Y'all Gay with Ali and Ever. It's one of your favorite guests, one of our favorite guests, the brilliant and talented Ever Maynard!
I was pissed y'all were going to bring me up after that fart song.
Come on. That fart song rules.
Oh, do you hate, are you anti-fart? Is that the deal?
No, I was man, don't bring me up next to farts, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now because it's so funny that you just like don't want to, it's like.
Also,
I can't follow that.
This is indeed October 11th and indeed. National Coming Out Day. Fitting you have a dyke. I'm hosting the Reverie Queer X Awards today.
Nice.
You can get that on Reverie TV.
Amazing.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to dunk on y'all. I'm in a dunk mood right
now.
No,
you should.
Y'all, I'm fired up.
You say
up
clear
today.
The runway because I'm fucking ready for takeoff.
Yeah, we're farting off today. I'm riled up, y'all. I can't wait. I just did leg day.
Oh, shit.
I just did leg day and I just, okay, we'll get into it, but.
I just did leg day as a is a great way to let people know they're in
don't
a lot of trouble.
Don't fuck with me right now.
Don't fuck with me. I just did leg day.
I just did leg day. I took a lot of pre-workout.
Yeah. Motherfucker, I just did leg day.
I can hoist you over my head right now.
I'm not kidding.
I'm sorry. You want me to use a cart in this fucking grocery store? I'm using my reusable bag instead of a cart. And now you tell, okay, so you really want, I just did leg day because we can get down in this produce section.
I just did leg day. Get upset with me. Try me. Have y'all ever taken a pre-workout?
Yes.
So you know how when you take too much, like your face tingles?
Dude, I had a very short run of pre-workout and like using protein shakes and shit because it wrecked me either gastrointestinally or psychologically where I was like,
I'm emotionally wrecked and I'm ready for it. So I think I'm making bad decisions. I was like, I can handle this.
Yeah.
It's pre-workout. It's not just caffeine.
It's like BCAAs.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it felt like. When I started using it, it was because my homeboy was like doing a lot of Muay Thai shit. And he's like, yo, this is what they take. You should try this. And I was like, okay. Like not knowing what the fuck I was doing. And then I was just like, yo, is my heart and just my, I feel like I could feel my blood circulating with every heartbeat.
Feel every drop of the blood inside my body right now.
Seriously, exactly. I'm like, I've become one with my blood.
I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to podcast. I was like, why am I being so aggressive today?
Oh, did you take a pre-workout right before you started recording?
I took it right before leg day. My body is jacked. My body is so confused. I'm also excited to tell you about my search history.
Amazing. What is something from your search history?
Oh, God. What was the last thing I searched? Oh, collapsible Tupperware. Okay, so listen.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. No, I'm ready.
This is the life hack we all need. Like, if you carry a backpack, a tote bag, a Telfar, whatever with you, collapsible Tupperware is the way to go. Because, like, when you get the boxes from the grocery store, it's not, like, really cold enough to actually keep anything just right. Mm-hmm. I love a good restaurant with big portions, and I am absolutely taking my leftovers home, but sometimes you can't always get them home. So I was looking up collapsible Tupperware, and then I found like a great deal, and I was like, oh, I'll just get some for me and my mom and my sisters for Christmas.
Wait, hold on. So in this scenario, the to-go container at the restaurant you're at is not sufficient enough to transport your leftovers?
No.
Is that what that's what I feel like I'm hearing, rather than being like, because I'm like, is that a problem? Like, you know how the restaurants take away fucking carriers or bullshit?
Yes. You never thought they were bullshit. They're not strong enough.
Wait,
they
go on, leak, but give me an example.
Not perforated.
Take me with you on this journey of being of understanding how the restaurant takeaway containers are bullshit.
They're flimsy, they're weak. Most of the time they're made out of paper. You don't even get me started on paper straws. Look.
Yeah.
Stop putting the onus on stopping climate change on regular people, okay? Like,
hey,
I will take, listen, I need my plastic straw.
People who sip drinks.
What did you say?
I said people who sip drinks, they are the ones who are absolutely the cause of and somehow solution to climate change.
Mm-hmm. I hate it. I would rather put my mouth on a raw sidewalk than a paper straw. I hate it so much.
You know, like having just the thing in your mouth just dissolve into little like soft paper chunks. As
I got one right here with this coffee I bought, and it's like it's puffing out right now. It's starting to absorb. I'm like, okay, the clock is ticking on this one.
It makes me so angry. It's not even worth it. Never worth it. But yeah, collapsible Tupperware. I was looking up different options and trying to find ones that have like the separation that way your foods don't have to touch.
Oh wow. I feel you on that. Yep.
Here's what the inspiration for this, and again, weird Texas stuff. My little sister was at the Texas State Fair and she was like, girl, I brought Tupperware with me to the State Fair. It was the best idea. Now I have turkey leg for weeks. So just
turkey. That is a large collapse. Like that is a, I feel like you need a tent layout to be getting multiple turkey legs and a piece of Tupperware. That's kind of impressive.
Can you hold a bass guitar in there?
In a medium Telfar, you could fit like three turkey legs wrapped up.
Okay.
if you use foil paper and a good long ways oblong rectangular container. Yeah.
Right.
I bet you were looking for something juicier or weirder than that, but that was really the last thing I searched.
I got it. Well, first, I just like the idea of meeting somebody who is dissatisfied with the fucking takeaway shit at a restaurant where they're like, yeah, and I'm gonna take that to go. And like, you know what? Actually, fuck that. I brought my own this time because y'all are fucking around in here.
Right.
But at first I thought you meant that because as somebody who has like a chaotic collection of Tupperware.
Oh my God.
Collapsible Tupperware seemed like actually one of the best ways to store it rather than the fucking tornado of plastic that is in like one of my cabinets that I call where we keep the Tupperware. So I thought maybe I was like, oh, this is a solution to the chaos in the Tupperware cabinet.
Yeah.
Also a good solution. See, that is the normal reason why people look it up. I know most people are not thinking, I got to have something that takes up as little space as possible in my purse.
Because they are fucking around at Cheesecake Factory.
I am such a fucking bag lady. And like,
I love it.
Not only do I always have the biggest purse you've ever seen, I bring it on stage with me. And I don't even like, because I just don't trust these hoes to watch my back.
I love it.
I feel like, so I just, the amount of times I'm just like, excuse me, and I just sit down this huge Mary Poppins sack and start telling my jokes. And I don't think there's anything, maybe that's why I'm struggling with these weird crowds. I need to acknowledge the giant ass bag like, this full isn't of turkey a bit. Legs.
Yeah. They're like, I just don't trust any of y'all in here.
With my turkey legs, no. Yeah,
exactly. I do like Miles' idea of like doing a guitar case, like the movie Desperado, where Antonio Banderas carries around a guitar case, but like it's just filled with collapsible Tupperware.
And turkey legs?
Like, yeah, you're just there.
Also, I liked what I believed was the reference to the movie Toys, because LL Cool J in that film, he didn't like his food touching. He would say in the cafeteria scenes, he doesn't like his food. And I took that as a habit as a kid because I looked up to LL Cool J at that time and I was like, I don't like my food touching. Yeah. So I demanded similar Tupperware as a kid. And my mom said, well, you will eat the school lunch.
What is something you think is overrated?
I'm so tired of like Instagram influencers. I'm just tired of it. Like, I hate how... Like, when I used to look at Instagram content, it was like, oh, this is a cute outfit. And now everything is, like, sponsored by a protein powder or sponsored by, like, some stupid product. And I'm just annoyed. Like, you'll see, like, a really cool thing. Like, hey, check it out. I just redesigned my new house. Now, check out this pillow. Buy the pillow, man. Or just whatever. And I'm just like, can we stop? It's basically just marketing into our faces. And it's like, I think of these Instagram, like, influencers as like this is their heyday, because it's going to come crashing down eventually.
It is crashing down right now.
It's happening, and it's like, what are you going to? I don't know. I just think it's funny. Like in 50 years, well, back in my day, you know, I would sell a protein product, and I made a lot of money. You know, like I don't know. I just so over it.
Grandma used to be with her Herbalife family all the time.
Exactly, and it's all very culty.
Oh yeah, it's all multi-level marketing shit.
Like in 40 years, will Instagram still be around, but it'll be like Facebook, only a product that's only used by people in old folks' homes. And they'll be like getting updates like this influencer house is having a reunion. And we're like, oh, look at them. They got back together.
I'm just over it. And everything just looks so fake. I'm just tired. I'm the world is falling apart. How are we pretending that everything's fine?
Well, that's I think the bit, right, is like clearly for our generation, like the commercials stopped working.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so they're like, fuck, bro, these motherfuckers don't watch TV. They can't even fucking afford TV. So how the fuck do we get to them? Oh, that's right. Turn all the shit that they're scrolling through, just co-opt what they're seeing and turn that into the new commercial. And like, and then these people are able to get a lot of money or whatever, da, 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 da. But even now, like, it's that cycle's happening now, where before you'd be like, oh, shit, what's this person who I fuck with? Like, what are they wearing? Is now like, man, this whole person's a fucking ad. Now I don't even know what the fuck is real. So I feel like whatever the next thing is probably going to be like incentivizing like people to say shit to their friends on some level. It's like, hey, if we record you bigging up the brand 4 times like on this app, you know, you'll get a fucking discount or some shit like that, because we need even more like subtle ways to like influence people. But I don't know. Hit me up, advertising.
We're all just one pyramid scheme. You know what I mean? It's all just one bit. Everyone's a walking ad. And that's what frustrates me. Maybe it's just more obvious to me now. Maybe they have been doing it way longer than I knew about it. But I'm like, oh, cool. This is a paid sponsored content. And it also just makes me amazed that people are in their homes fully like creating new content every day about a new product. And it works on me. And I think that's why I'm mad, because I'm like, Instagram has my fucking number.
They got to figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, they know me. They're like, she wants this. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, start throwing it off. Just start looking for shit that you got nothing to do with you and see
No, totally. So I think they're overrated. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about these influencer people?
I do think it's overrated for like the idea that they're doing it themselves. I think there are massive teams and production teams behind the scenes that are all helping the illusion that they're doing it by themselves. But it's all invisible, you know, trickery.
I know people who are like who do influencer shit, and some are just like they run themselves ragged.
Yeah.
Like, which is the other side of it too. Because they're like, my whole life is trying to get a hotel to be like, yo, come through and blah, blah, blah. And then you're all you have to think about every day is like, fuck, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? If you're not like major, I don't know. Like, so when they describe that shit, I'm like, okay, cool. You do get free hotel stays, but like you have no fucking time for anything because you're always thinking about what backdrop do I set up for this or
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's that Abercrombie documentary on Netflix, like back in their heyday, they were hot and naked. Like, and I just feel like there's going to be a, I was an Instagram model and like,
right,
you know, I had all these sponsorships and Shein was sponsoring me. And it's just going to be talking about how unhappy everybody, because that's, I guess it's what it is. It's like, everyone's unhappy. Shut up and quit acting like you are.
Oh, right, it's right, a lie. Right. It's like, own that part. Like, when are y'all going to, yeah, like, I mean, but that's the fun of social media influencing, right? It's like so curated that you can take out all the parts that make it real.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every famous person is a small to large company. And there's a company worth of people behind them that are, you know, brand strategists and, you know, people, production people.
Help you buy new pairs of underwear when they get webby.
Exactly.
Have an interest in keeping their career going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I get anyway. Shout out to my team. Shout out my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping you in the fresh and the fresh uns.
Trying to.
Like, there, you know, we've heard of like really talented comedians who write for, you know, celebrities on Instagram. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's just an invisible way that people are being helped and, you know, creating this illusion. Right. Anyways.
That was such a good way to put it, though, Jack, that every, like, they're like a small or like a medium to large business, because they are. And I think, I wouldn't have Instagram if it wasn't for comedy. Like, I think I might have like a private page and here's something I did this weekend, but this needing to churn out content, I just feel like it's made zombies out of so many really cool creative people. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, it's the art that I care about, man.
I think it's also why famous people end up like having very unhealthy lives, because there is this forward inertia of, you know, multiple people and like families, like a whole infrastructure of people who rely on them to continue to be successful at a thing that might not be making them happy, but like that's not the point anymore. Like you as a person kind of become beside the point at a certain point.
You and that point you truly are like, I'm not even a person. Yeah. I'm a fucking I'm a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
You're a brand. Yeah. Right. That's the crazy part. When people become brands.
But that's, I think, the biggest, the most insidious shit is for that happen with kids, because we've talked about it before. Like when that relationship is inverted and then the children are now the ones having to supply and support a family financially. Yeah. That's no child deserves to be in a situation like that.
No good.
You know, like it's so normal. And like there's not much. And like so many kids will be like, yeah, I like that. I like that. I make my parents happy and shit like that. But then cut to like 10 years later and it's all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. I follow a kid who makes like silly, meh, meh, just like says ridiculous shit. And she's very cute. And now I'm like, oh, no. Am I contributing?
Find out.
Yeah. What's that parent
agent
saying? It's like, we need this shit better do 2 milli.
Right.
Or the power was going to go out.
Right. What is what's something you think is overrated?
Activision Blizzard.
this is going to be a vendetta. This is going to be a vendetta.
It's going to be a Def Jam vendetta. Yeah.
Oh, great game. Great game. I always played as Method Man in that one. Joe Budden was also a playable character, if I'm not mistaken, in that video game, which was one of the, I think, great hip hop, early hip hop fighting games. Obviously, there was Shaq Fu before that. that we also get down on.
Who did Shaq Fu fight in the fighting game?
Like monsters. It wasn't like he was like drop kicking Muggsy Bogues or anything.
No, Shaq Fu was like the worst 2D fighting. Like it looked like shitty Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, they just skinned more like an early demo version of Mortal Kombat and put Shaq on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always funny. Like Shaq is
like a mummy with like spiky football pads. Anyway,
you have a lot of great character design.
It's just like Shaq doesn't strike me as like somebody I want to be in a fighting game. I feel, you know, like it reminds me of the story where he like stole Steve Nash's ABC show from him.
Right.
But it, like, the premise only fits Steve Nash. Steve Nash is like this athlete who can play all these different sports and games and is like really great at it. But like Shaq was just way more charismatic than him. So ABC was like, we'll give it to you if you want it, Shaq. But right. he's not like an athlete who can do all the different things. So it was like very, just didn't fit. Nor does like, what if it was Mortal Kombat, but with Shaq? Like that feels like a pitch that I was like, I mean, I guess.
Dude, yeah, the names, it's like you could fight Coyote or Beast or Colonel.
Right.
Like, or Raja or Mifa. There's this like, there's one character called Voodoo. And I'm sure just a bunch of really historically accurate depictions of these characters.
Yeah, yeah. Very sensitive. Actually a breakthrough in cultural yeah. depictions of various cultures.
He gets his own game, but dude can't even win to Aaron Carter. So like, what's that about?
What? I don't know that reference. What is
you that? Don't remember when Aaron Carter sang the fable of how he beat Shaq?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, I didn't know I wasn't talking to a bunch of cartographers.
I mean, I remember. Wasn't it like a fuck? What? That was like a track, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't a tell-all memoir.
Yeah. How I Beat Shaq. I'm like, wait, is that the book Aaron Carter, How I Beat Shaq, or that dumb single that he had?
And it was just a tale of how he beat Shaq in basketball?
The song's called That's How I Beat Shaq.
Okay. And it's just really like insider basketball, like footwork discussions. Oh, yeah. Of, like,
drop yeah. step. Yo, guys, check it out. Guess what happened to me? Another crazy story. Come on, AC. I was hanging at the court just playing some ball, working on my game. Yeah, we heard it all. I heard the fans screaming. I thought it was for me. But then I saw a shadow. It was 12'3". It was Shaquille O'Neal. What did he say? How about some one-on-one? You want to play? I told him, why not? I got some time. But when I beat you real bad, try not to cry. It's like, Jesus Christ.
What?
It's wild when you can like when the rap, like when the bars are so weak upon first reading, you already know the exact flow of it.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even a rap.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
He's like stretching it out.
Shaq,
like
psych him out.
He's like, there are runs in those lines. Like he's going on runs.
I mean, but it's wild. There's no like thing about it. It's like, yeah, you know. Force him to his left or anything right. like that. Like yeah, something yeah. really basketball related. It's like, I slammed on him and that's how I beat Shaq.
I put a nail in his shoe.
Right. I said, yo, Shaq, you didn't tie your shoelace. He looked down. Threat. I stole the ball. I'm taking him to school. Now watch me, y'all. Okay, thanks.
I wonder if any coach just, you know, Googling late night before a game came across this song and listened to it to see if there were any, you know, they're like, how do you prepare for Shaq?
All right, guys.
Google.
Boys. Just wipes off the whiteboard.
I'm writing these down.
A new play.
You got to say this. Yo, Shaq, you didn't tie your shoelace and then steal the ball after that. Okay,
is that really the plot of the song?
Yo, it said, I had a plan. I could change the pace. I said, yo, Shaq, you didn't tie your shoelace.
Wow.
He looked down. I stole the ball. I take him into school. Now watch me, y'all.
That's like,
first of all, you're not fucking dunking on Shaq, Aaron Carter.
Right.
I don't know why I'm now starting to get really angry that Aaron Carter is now this is a real big tough guy energy from Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Well,
you're not beating Shaq.
This deserves a Miles chokehold.
Slithering behind.
Sleeper move.
Oh, I think the man's been through enough.
Yeah, right? Maybe. That's probably you know. And hey, maybe he's not right since he beat Shaq, and that's why he's answering for that.
Yeah, flew too close to the sun.
Yeah.
Was Shaq involved in this song? Like, is it Aaron Carter featuring Shaq?
That would be so funny.
Because if not, they're like, doing Shaq's voice, which feels...
An unlicensed diss track. he's in the video, I believe.
He is. Okay.
It would make sense. Like, I wonder if it was like overlapping agency representation or something. And they're like, Shaq, you might as well do this. Like, we can get you like a licensing check because they're going to name check you, but the network's paying for it. So everybody wins.
I mean, it's not how I scored one bucket on Shaq. It's how I beat
the shit out of Shaquille O'Neal in basketball.
It implies that he repeatedly is able to use the, hey, your shoelace is untied.
Well, that's one of the points.
Which is disrespectful as fuck. To Shaq. I mean,
honestly, I think you can only get away with that twice.
Right. Shaq, not in addition to being
one per shoe.
And this is peak Shaquille. Like, this is, he looks
pretty. This is Shaq with hair.
Yeah, he has hair and looks pretty trim.
This is Blue Chips era Shaq.
Right. I believe this is Lakers era Shaq.
Oh, yeah, this is Lakers era Shaq for sure. This is the only reason they would do that song. But hold on, what was the score at one point? They showed the scoreboard in this. Okay. So
Shaq 119, Aaron 117. So
Eric Carter put up 117 points on Shaq.
Yeah. That's fourth period, though. That's fourth period.
Yeah, fourth period, not fourth quarter. Okay. And yeah, like, there's nothing, again, that's, I don't know why we're treating this like some actual tactical analysis on how to be Shaquille O'Neal in basketball when it was like, and then I did a slam, I did a three pointer. You know,
no one was doing that. You're doing that.
I know. I'm you're having taking
it. Oh my God, they just showed his
shot. You just saw his shot. Yo, his shot was trash.
He shoots underhand.
What is that?
Oh,
Shaq.
No.
No, see, now Shaq, I got to pull your card, bro.
Shaq, you should not have let this happen, man. I mean, I guess Aaron Carter is.
Wait. It was a dream.
Oh, it was all a dream. Okay.
Yeah. He used to read Word Up magazine. Okay, that makes sense. Thank God.
So the pro strat is to dream that you're beating Shaq.
Yeah.
Like that's
right. I like that in the end, it's like in your fucking dreams, asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe his mom said that.
we didn't hear the line from the mom in the video, but it
in your dreams,
reason
asshole.
That the line is in your fucking dreams, asshole.
Okay, but what? Oh man, it was all a dream. I guess that kind of thing could have never happened to me. If it was a dream and it wasn't real, how'd I get a jersey with a name O'Neal?
Whoa.
Oh. Oh, you bought it.
You die in the dream, you die in real life. Beat Shaq in the
dude
team.
Your mom felt bad that you didn't even make junior varsity and you were crying on that. You didn't notice that she put the little Shaq jersey in there to make you feel better the next morning.
How that's what happens, jersey son? With the name O'Neal. It's like the most popular jersey in the city you live in right now.
His mom's friend. Like, I got you that for your birthday last year. That's why it's there.
Oh, damn, I knew it was real.
I
do wonder, it's interesting to me to like, I would love the oral history behind this, like whether, you know how there are like certain action heroes who like won't die in their movies. Right. They're like, I'll do it. If like, was this a note from Shaq that like, no, it's got to be a dream if I'm going to participate in this song.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to let this little white kid beat me.
Right.
Which again, I would like to see Shaq actually take Aaron Carter to fucking church on the court.
Yes. So
with that shot, I'm sorry, y'all. If y'all have ever seen somebody shoot a basketball, please watch the music video because what the shooting mechanics of Aaron Carter, I can tell you, I've never seen anything like this.
The version of this song coming together that I had in my mind was completely blown up by seeing him shoot a basketball because my understanding was like he was somewhat like a played basketball.
Oh, like a Jack Harlow kind of dude.
Yeah, like played at a YMCA league at least. And like that was something he loved basketball. But this seems like it was completely foisted on him and he had never picked up a basketball before this video. So I don't know. Yeah, it must have been conceived at an agency.
God damn, the bar was so low, man. Like this guy was a Backstreet Boys little brother, and the next thing you know, he has a music video where he's fucking Shaq up on the court.
They're having to cut around not only his basketball playing, but his dancing. Like the dance moves are even cut, so you only see like a singular dance move at a time.
I don't know why we're so incensed.
No,
I don't know why I'm so incensed.
Hey, man, it was an interesting
look
time.
What Steven did. We're supposed to talk about Activision Blizzard, and we let them off the hook talking about Aaron Carter's jump shot.
Imagine in the 70s if Andy Gibb had a song about beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or something. My big brothers, they get all the fame. How am I going to do?
What is something you think is underrated, Steven?
Aaron Carter's game.
Yeah, I think so. I think we can firmly say
just because he wasn't goosenecking in the video doesn't mean he wasn't scoring those points.
He went from underhand to sidearm mid shot. It's
that's
one
called
of the,
versatility, baby. Yeah.
Like that's called a scoop up and under or something. He can't even really dance.
Yeah, no, he can't dance at all.
This is all like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. This, thank you for showing me. Oh, hit that jump shot, again. Thank you, Steven, for showing me this, because this is underrated. It's been a while since something I was like passively dismissed from media. Like I look back and I'm like, this could bring me out of a fucking coma because it makes me so angry.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Also, to suggest that you could score 119 points on Shaq with just the shoelace move, also is disrespectful to him as an athlete. Also disrespectful to Shaq as a prankster. Somebody who prides himself on real dumb pranks, real dumb sports pranks. And, you know, he's not falling for that shit. Aaron Carter. Come on, man.
Come on, Aaron.
Aaron Carter's run on the Globetrotters was pretty lucrative, though.
Yeah. Uh-oh. This is going to be the next 45 minutes of the podcast.
Although, man, you should see. I did forget. He was in one of the And One mixtapes, though, later on after this, I remember, for that shot.
We got a show to do. People out there in Radio Land, just look up the 30 for 30. You'll
love it.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And, you know,
one and a half cups of mayo. Sorry, I just had to add that. That
one and a half cups of mayo in the Duke's chocolate cake.
Mayonnaise cake. It's only got 3.5-star rating. Zeit Gang, I know one of y'all had to have fucked around and found out about this. Please let me know if it was fantastic. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to real life.
Back to crime. Not real life, though, actually. Yeah, because, you know, this is on the list with kids using litter boxes. Like, what else is on there? Like
fentanyl!
The stuff, hocus pocus, casting a spell on your family.
Mm-hmm. Libraries being the energetic conduit for satanic energy transfer.
Yeah. Fentanyl-dusted Halloween candy.
Although I love those tweets where people are like, guys, you got to check your kids' candy. And like that shit post format now, it's like, I looked into my kids' Snickers and it was Thursday night football.
But yeah, this seems to be one of the more potent ones. One of the ones that I see getting taken the most seriously is that crime's out of control in American cities. The stats are there.
Yeah.
Are they? No, Miles, they're not, actually.
Wait, hold on. Are they, though? Well, that's the thing. I mean, this has been a very potent tool for conservatives for decades, being like, fucking crime! Because most people don't know their neighbors or whatever, and it's easier to just believe shit on TV and be like, yes, the world is just unfathomably cruel and unusual. And I think a lot of it, too, especially in the last few years, is especially a backlash to the summer of 2020 when the police had a big coming out party for non-marginalized America, who was very well aware of what the police were like and revealed themselves even further to be an overtly violent group with military hand-me-downs. And if people talk about defunding the police, then the logic of the right has always been, well, that means total societal collapse where thugs run cities and you'll get your Achilles tendon slashed underneath your Mercedes because somebody put a little Lululemon bag under your front tire. That's a reference to that TikTok video. I don't know if you saw it.
What?
That one where the woman's like, you got to be careful. Zip tie on your door handle. That means they've been spotting you. A napkin in your door handle. It's been drugged. Your hand could go numb. It's the most... It's wild.
Who's doing this?
It's the 80s all over again. These are stories that were on the news in the 80s, like local news stories.
The Achilles heel slash is old.
Yeah. It's so old.
But I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. This has been like a huge... I hate to derail
it. And it's back on TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the link.
Who's getting their Achilles heel slashed?
This is like a thing from the 80s.
Let's talk about this. Who's fitting under a car these days?
Right. I don't know.
Who is able to slither under a car like that?
The logic of... So one of these that I saw, because former guest Jason Pargin was talking about it on TikTok, was they have these videos where people are like, look, I found this zip tie on my car door handle. And that means that they have marked me. I just want to like understand the logic. Like the story in their head is that are they... Like, they can't keep track of all the people they've decided to murder.
Because...
And so they need to leave a zip tie to be like, oh, right. That's like a bookmark for murder. No,
It's because these people have no, they're so true crime brained that the most complex thought they can say is that traffickers and abductors work in the same way as like parking enforcement, like where they chalked your tire. They're like, and the other one comes through and they chalk your tire to know you've been there for 2 hours or you're alone. And then the other group, they're constantly roving together. I don't know.
Interesting.
But we digress. All that to say is there's plenty of material out there in the world to help you feel completely unsafe and things that the fucking walls are caving in. And we talk all the time, too, about just how journalists like open mouth ingest, quote unquote, crime statistics. Like,
yeah, I mean, we just saw that in KCMTV.
Yeah. Satan. No questions asked. Man. Straight faced
telling that story with an American flag on the screen.
Right. In L.A. and New York, we see this a lot, like especially the New York Times, L.A. Times. They love coming out with a like cops can barely hang on with all these crime waves. Cowabunga, dude. But the fucking statistics don't add up at all.
Yeah. Murders rose in cities like during 2020, during the pandemic. I think people were like, well, it's a pandemic. We're in lockdown. Murder shouldn't be going up. It must be the other big news story, you know, the Democrats. Defund the police and Democrats. But unfortunately for that thesis, murders rose in cities nationwide and jurisdictions of all types. So relative to 2019, the number of murders jumped by more than 30% in the largest cities and by 20% in places designated by the FBI as suburbs. But they were up in rural areas. They were up everywhere. And they were up in cities run by Republicans just as much as cities run by Democrats. So the whole idea that like they were up because Democratic city leaders like defunded the police is just completely like there's just nothing to that at all.
Well, yeah, a family of four was just murdered in my hometown.
Right. Oof. Yeah. I mean, happening.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I am on pre-workout. I should not have said that so aggressively.
But it's a matter of fact.
Crime's happening everywhere.
It is. And the thing is, right, like even when you compare those homicide rates, they're not even close to what it was in the 90s.
Right.
And also in that same time, overall crime fucking decreased.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you say, fine, 2020 may be an anomaly, whatever. What about 2021? What about 2022? Well, here's a fun fact. The FBI publishes these crime stats every fall from like data that they source from local law enforcement agencies like sheriff's departments, police departments, etc. And when collecting data for 2021, the FBI, they're saying like, yo, for this year, we're doing something different. We want to use a new system so we can get even more detailed data so we can properly like analyze trends or whatever. However, a lot of the localities haven't switched over to this new system yet. This is from this Mother Jones article I want to read you that they're saying, quote, as a result, the feds only gathered information from law enforcement agencies representing just 65% of the U.S. population, compared with around 95% in prior years, rendering the latest estimates pretty meaningless. In most instances, the FBI wrote in a summary published this week, quote, the data do not meet the criteria for statistical significance. New York City and Los Angeles, the two biggest cities by population, were among those that didn't submit their information to the feds, according to the Marshall Project. Neither did most agencies in California, New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Florida, some of the most populous states.
It's almost like they are covering something up so that they can continue a bullshit narrative that serves their needs.
Yeah, or at the very least, right? It sounds like incomplete data. It sounds like a statistical blind spot. If you want to go around waving shit in the air and be like, it's a fucking crime wave.
Yeah.
Well, fucking pull up with facts. Don't just pull up with fucking sentiment that someone is feeding you because they feel that their budgets are under threat because they don't know how to treat people humanely.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just want to play this ad, right? This is from the New York governor's. Sorry, what were you saying?
I said okay.
Said, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Play that ad.
That's what we need. Let me play this ad, though, from the New York governor's race. Lee Zeldin is out here painting the wildest pictures of New York as he runs against Governor Hochul. And I'm just going to play this right now so you can kind of get an idea of how aggressive the fucking like rhetoric and visuals are to seed in people's minds that they live in this fucked up hellscape. And so this ad is called Take Back Our Streets. And under the narration, you're going to basically, what's playing is like violent, terrible crimes, like on like CCTV cameras happening.
There's no question that the spear of crime is real.
There's an old guy getting knocked out. There's a shooting in the street.
You're looking at actual violent crimes caught on camera in Kathy Hochul's New York. And it's getting much worse. On Kathy Hochul's watch. On November 8th, vote like your life depends.
People fucking looting
shit.
Lee Zeldin for governor. Because it's time our families feel safe again.
Okay, some of this stuff was clearly staged, but some of it was incredible to see, just the KOs.
Dude, the first one, they start off with this old dude just getting fucking knocked out. You're like,
yeah.
Fucking some of that whack,
footage
huh?
looks so old.
Yeah. So you look at that clip and you go, holy shit. Like, that was straight up. These people have lost their minds. Are people fighting at the grocery store? People fighting
at the... That is an effective political ad. I will
100%. Say. Because it does line up with one-off videos that go viral that you might see to be like, why? Oh, yeah, I remember something like that. Now, is that happening every single day to millions upon millions of people? No. But I get that you go, you take the most sensational and spin that into someone's reality. Spoiler alert, though, his campaign admitted that fucking half of the footage in that commercial was even from before Hochul was governor. So for all this shit of like Hochul's New York, that has half of the clips were fucking from before.
So they were just using that colloquially, like being like, it's her New York, man. We're just living in it. Like,
exactly.
Because
you see what happened. This happened in New York. Yeah, maybe 2 years ago. But like,
but
it should
happen.
The damage
is already done. Like, anybody who's already seen it.
Yeah, that's how another clip, political ads work. Yeah.
One of the other clips was from fucking Oakland. Like, so the lengths these politicians try to go to convince you that the shit you are seeing or isn't happening or is happening is unbelievable, and not to mention that they've spent something like $12 million already in the last couple weeks just trying to get, like, just to really feed this shit on, like, in ads is pretty telling. And it's one of the same reasons why Oz is tightening the race against John Fetterman too. He's going back to this crime thing, and for, I do want to reference
Oz.
Yes, yeah, Dr. Oz. There was an article.
Were you
in the
saying
Daily
that because
Beast.
You just want Miles to always address him as Doctor, put some respect on his name? Is that
Doctor Mehmet Oz?
Well, I forgot that he was running.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
I was like, oh.
And in the Daily Beast, this person wrote an article just in the second sentence or like third or second paragraph was just being like, you know, with crime going up nearly everywhere nationwide, it's no wonder why Oz would, or something to that effect, where it's like, you're even in this ad where you're presumably writing an op-ed to try and motivate Democrats to vote by saying like, hey, they've got a potent way of getting people to vote, you better vote too. You're just gonna keep saying this shit of like, well, it's everybody knows. I don't know, where's that data at? Like, because everything else fucking says otherwise.
I mean, it seems like this would be a fairly straight, like the fact that murders were up during the pandemic and in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic, like here are the other things that are up. Gun ownership is way up. Alcohol consumption is way up. The economy is way the fuck down. Like the economy shit the bed because we were in a pandemic and they tried to treat it by giving people a small one-time check. So people like... These are all things we know lead to desperation and, you know, the circumstances that lead to crime. The only thing that they've been looking into this to see, because the two narratives I've heard the most, and it doesn't matter if it's every mainstream media, whether it's the Daily Beast or the local news or, you know, the LA Times, they're all saying that it is caused by defund the police movement, which never happened. No police was ever defunded, like, significantly. And also they're blaming progressive district attorneys.
Right.
And those have both been statistically ruled out. Like, they have looked at the statistics, the crime statistics, when a progressive DA comes to office in a city. The crime actually either goes down or stays the same. There's no significant connection, a statistically significant connection at all it's completely fabricated. It's a completely political statement that is motivated to make people afraid. But the thing that gun ownership, you can't blame that because that makes people money. Alcohol consumption, you can't blame that because that makes people money. The economy shitting the bed and like just a one-time pandemic check. Like we just those one and two pandemic checks were like America had a fucking allergic reaction to people getting free money. So you can't like point that out. And so you just go back to these.
Go back to white supremacy.
Things. Yeah, you go back to white supremacy.
Oh, these people want the police to fund it. Oh, that's what happened.
The one defunded thing that seems to be making a significant difference and where they seem to have like a statistical connection is social programs, like programs that are focused on creating programs that give people things to do besides violence and, you know, community action, like those sorts of things were defunded during the pandemic. And they haven't come back. And yeah, those things work. We've seen those things work repeatedly. But because it's America, that just gets fucking ignored. You don't even hear about them when they do work. And then they just get defunded. They're the first thing to get defunded. So that's why, like, in any sane society, that is the obvious explanation. Like, all those factors are obvious reasons why, you know, some crimes would be up and they get completely ignored and turned into a right-wing talking point instead.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, this house burned down with that had a puddle of kerosene and a live electrical wire flying around next to it. I wonder what happened. Like,
right.
I think they defunded the police. Oh, I'm sorry. You could have looked right there.
Right.
No, okay. Never mind. It's just wild because like in medicine, right, we know preventative medicine is like the key to living a longer, healthy life, like to have maximum health, is to check in with a doctor.
That's why we need Dr. Oz.
Exactly. Oh, shit. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hold on now. Don't let Medical me. I want to do that pivot. I was going to do that pivot way better down the road.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, doctors, they tell us this because their mandate as doctors is to fucking study illnesses and tell us how to live healthily. That's why we go to a doctor.
I got it. Okay. Let's put a pin in this because I got to come back to something.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And then I'm speaking broadly, right? Because I have many gripes with our medical system as it is, even as it relates to my own family. But you would never go to a doctor that always said, hey, man, call me up when shit gets bad. I don't know why you want me to like check up on shit. Just call me up when it gets so bad you need medical assistance rather than how can I figure out ways to sustain someone's health? And it's important to look at the language, too, with cops, right? They're called law enforcement.
Yeah.
They're not called guardians of our public safety, right, although they say serve and protect on the cars. If they were actually about keeping us safe, their mantra wouldn't be call us when shit gets bad.
Right.
It would be the whole point of this is to prioritize safety, analyze things and look at what the causes are so we can keep people safe.
Yeah.
I have something that's going to break your heart.
Please.
Two things. One thing, serve and protect reminded me of this. I bought a new Carhartt sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love a nice Carhartt?
Yeah.
Especially National Coming Out Day.
Mm-hmm.
Lesbians, we love it.
Yeah.
I ripped the tag off and it said Carhartt to serve and protect.
What?
The working person or something like that at the bottom. But I was like, serve and protect. Is Carhartt a cop brand?
Is Carhartt a cop?
Cop brand? Have I been deceived? Somebody needs to
No, remember,
to look
they pissed off all the fucking the right-wing people.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were like, yo, y'all need to get COVID vaccines. They're like, I'm burning this shit.
Well, they better take a second look at that at that slogan then.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they were hoping that you would get the warm and fuzzies from that.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, like that's why it's just like if you want to if you want people to take you seriously, if you're actually talking about safety and safety is the concern and crime and all this shit, then what the fuck are you doing to prevent it? Not call me up when shit gets bad. I want the we're trying to prevent this shit from the first place. But again, I think this is where this sort of metaphor overlaps with medicine, because sometimes it's just simply not profitable to cure an illness.
Right.
No.
And that's kind of, I think, where we find ourselves, like sort of just repeatedly being like, but I think the confusion, I think, still like cycles over and over again for those of us who might not have fully grasped, you know, kind of how this all works and what it's intended to actually serve and protect.
Yeah.
When I was diagnosed, so I have frontal lobe seizures, and it's not like to describe it, it feels like deja vu. I don't know if I've ever talked about it with y'all, but I get like auras. So. Like I'm still like conscious,
right,
and my body doesn't shake, but it'll feel like a sneeze is coming on, or like, and then I'll get massive headaches sometimes, like they're rolling. And I had like MRIs and I couldn't figure out. And I was like, I guess I'm psychic, you know, like cocky about it. I was like, I'm going to start charging people money. And I finally saw a neurologist who knew what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. He put me on this medicine. He was talking to me for about an hour about what I'm finally on now, which is Lamictal, about the joys of Lamictal, like how it could really help me. It could also help anxiety and depression that was also caused by frontal lobe seizures. And I was like, great. And then instead of prescribing me that, he prescribed this. Oh, my God. It's like an intense. It's for people that have like grand mal seizures or like seizures where they shake and they can't operate motorized vehicles. I forgot what it's called, but it's like an intense medication.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think that I need that.
Yeah.
Like these happen like, I mean, they're not consistent. It's like a couple times a month or it happens when I'm stressed. And he put me on it. I didn't take it for like months. And then I finally did. And I felt like I wasn't making rational decisions. I wasn't feeling like myself. I was like, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was so irritable at like nothing. I was like, oh, I'm going to stop this immediately. I called him up. We have another conversation. It's like an hour and a half again. And I'm like, I think I'd really like to try Lamictal. I think I'd really like to get on that. And he's talking to me about it. He's like, great, I'm going to prescribe that. And he goes, well, you know what?
What?
I have a bunch of free samples of this.
Holy shit.
And he was pushing, and I was like.
The same one?
No, it was another drug. But basically drug companies will
samples.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, push samples. And I was like, I can never trust this man again.
Right.
Instead, I went to a therapist who recommended me to a psychologist, and I got Lamictal, and my life has been so much better.
I have some samples of this, which is something I've been noodling on in the lab.
Yeah,
it's a proprietary drug.
I mean, what is that? What's for headaches? Yeah, little, yellow.
Yeah.
Nuprin.
This will work.
Try it.
I forgot the name brand of the drug, but I was like, how dare you?
Yeah. Well, it's wild, too, that, you, like you said, the flow of the conversation was, this thing I think would be great for you. However...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's not the one I'm going to prescribe to you.
Like, yeah, I was like, forget this. This sucks.
Yeah, there are a ton of bad doctors and the medical industry is.
No, I don't trust them.
I also don't. And discriminatory. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you're like, oh, the family reasons, like same with mine.
Yeah, too. Man, I just had a cousin pass away, man. And it's really frustrating. She the doctors told her she had fibroids for the longest time.
It was then, it cancer?
Yeah, it was. And it was, by the time they diagnosed it, it was stage 4.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could do.
I have similar things in my family.
Nothing they could do. And you're like, how are we? That's a whole separate conversation.
I know.
And I'm like, I'm still, you know, grieving that loss, but.
I'm so sorry.
You, there are times where you are like, I don't, what is this thing doing for us, really? Mm-hmm. If people can fall through the cracks like that. And I get, you know, there's a million and one reasons for that. All that to say. Is when it comes down to like keeping us safe and healthy, like you have to really look for the people that are actually putting that at the front of their mind and saying, well, this is actually the way to do something. This is the way to stay healthy. This is how we can actually prevent crime by supporting people and not maybe denying people who are having like issues, especially for women's health and being like, it's something else, something else, something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a whole separate thing. And shout out to people that covered for me while I was gone the last couple of days. But yeah,
I'm so sorry, Miles.
Yeah. No, it's shitty, you know,
yeah.
But this is part and parcel. My family's not alone. People's families are not alone. And this is happens a lot, especially with women of color, women in general, anybody like people. There's a lot of disparity going on around us for sure.
Yeah.
A doctor ruined my mother's life. And a surgeon.
Yeah.
Similar thing.
Mm. Yeah. And it's.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Give me that pre-workout. Give me that pre-workout. Go kick a fucking wall down.
I'm going to get barbecue and I'm going to think about this.
Yeah. Like, give me the drop a pin for that lock. I need some hot links.
I have to go back to leg day now.
Compartmentalize. Go.
my feelings yeah. go in my legs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right, quad right. day.
My therapist is actually my Peloton instructor. That's oh, shit. Who really helps me get through.
It's actually things. Tunde on Peloton. Shout out to Tunde.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And Burger King is, you know, they're putting that people have done this before in the past. I feel like it used to be more common early 20th century. People would be like, there's a massive financial reward for anyone who can take a picture of a fairy or, you know,
oh, right,
shit
right,
they
right.
believed back
a
then.
Sprite.
Yeah. The rewards have gotten significantly diminished, though, unfortunately, since that time. So Burger King is doing a promotion this Halloween. Now, just the idea of Burger King doing a Halloween promotion might cause some people to have some negative memories. So we're just going to say it right up front. What the last time Burger King did a big Halloween promotion?
Trichinosis.
They did a black burger that turned everyone's poop green. Which
Wait, what?
They released a burger that was black, or I guess no. I think the bun was black, which they claimed was like from the salty or the smoky infusion of A1 sauce. Like there was A1 baked into the bun,
right?
And people are like, actually, it's like this weird food coloring that is so really foreign to the human body that it, like the intestines can't like can't absorb it, and then it comes out as some of the speculation was that it was bile. Like that's what was turning the poop.
It's probably
green.
Just they had probably so much concentrated food dye to make the thing just appear like black that it's right. like either a ton of dark green or a ton of blue or something.
Yeah,
you ain't getting true black.
Yeah. When like in Japan, when they did like the black they burger. Would use squid ink.
Yeah,
which probably
makes sense.
Goes that's down like, a little easier.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but
Crayola
again, I think
marker juice.
Where America's like, I don't know, just a bunch of fucking green.
Yeah.
To make that work.
Dump it in there. So this one seems like it's unlikely to give you green poops, although we don't know yet. It's still very early on in the stages, but this is called the home of the Ghosts Whopper. It seems like the Ghost Whopper would have been but they pluralized it. Home of the Ghosts Whopper.
Oh, okay.
Not possessive.
Wait,
just
Ghost Whopper is a different thing.
The Ghost Whopper is a different thing?
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They, Whopper, I've already eaten.
Okay. Well, I think as Whopper. A tie-in to the Ghosts Whopper, which did the one that you ate, was it maybe the addition is now it's multiple ghosts in the Whopper? But
I have eaten multiple Whoppers.
Ghost
so let
Whoppers.
It blame me in the comments for that one too.
Making it plural is just very questionable. Go because then it's Ghosts Whoppers. Ghosts
oh,
Whoppers
like
Junior. It feels like
Carl's
Attorney
Junior.
General.
It's a whole
yeah. It's
yeah.
in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways,
Chris,
as a tie-in with the Ghosts Whopper, they are adding a ghost detector to their app, which is a real ghost detector in the sense that
okay,
it has. They're adding an electromagnetic field detector inside the BK app, which is something your phone already has. Like there are apps for this. I was I was with my at our family reunion this last year. We have like a dinner at this hotel that everyone says is haunted, and like my 12-year-old cousins were all like running around with a ghost detector app, and apparently it actually detects electromagnetic fields.
Oh, wow.
Which
damn our phones! I did not know the fucking phone.
Did they tell you
meter.
That, or did you look that up later?
They told me that, and now as part of researching this story, our writer JM has told me that it's a real thing, that it, like, our phones contain magnetic field sensors, and if your magnetic field sensor detects a ghost in your field via the magnetic field detector, you will get a coupon for a free burger. So that's the reward for proving there is life after death and that our consciousness does go on after we pass from our mortal
coil. But back to the cell phone thing, right? our cell phones already are like they emit radiation. That was like the whole thing of like, remember being like, don't put it towards your head back in like the '90s and shit.
Right.
So is that meter just going to be like treating itself? Like, does that fuck up its own shit? Cause it's already emitting its own radiation. I'm just like, it feels easy to gain.
Right. Miles 5 gray.
So, I mean, I don't know how it interacts with the radiation coming off of your phone, but people do point out that the reason that the ghost hunting industry has glommed onto EMF detectors is because there's a ton of EMF fields out there. Like your mouse is emitting EMF detectors right now. If you're using a mouse, you know, phones do it, two-way radios, any kind of electronic device. So you're using a cell phone that has a EMF detector, but the cell phone itself, like you said, is letting off EMF fields. So a camera battery pack is also something this call out.
So for like ghost hunters, like EMF is the best thing because it's basically like a confirmation bias machine. Yes.
Yeah, it's a confirmation
bias. Like, shit, look at this. The whole place is lighting up in this Best Buy.
Right.
My girlfriend watches the Ghost Adventures show a lot. And they have one in there that will, when it detects a ghost, it'll detect like a stick figure. They're like, oh, somebody's, some presence has appeared on your shoulder, and it's a stick figure, and then it will move so erratically. If it was a ghost, it was the ghost of somebody being
too much caffeine
in a giant like that rock tumbler or something. They're like,
or like the blow up
like a
car
marionette
lot. Yeah, blow up car lot thing with the air arms, the like wacky
the
arms
nope
car lot thing.
Yeah, the nope alien detector. Right. Yeah, I mean, one guy who sells paranormal kits for hundreds of dollars admits the, quote, exact nature of the connection between EMFs and ghosts is a mystery. So,
you know what? Shout out to the ghost hunters, man.
Yeah.
I love what y'all do. I love how much money y'all spend on something like this. Truly, I've never seen someone be so committed, especially when, like, it's not a mystery. Like, how are you going to use scientific devices to try and prove something, yet be completely ignorant about the myriad of ways you can get electromagnetic radiation to show up on an EMF thing? It's whatever. It is a mystery.
We're passing like one of the big kind of myths of our time is just this like technocratic myth that you can solve anything with technology and like something like an app in your phone, essentially. So I feel like in 20 years, that's the thing we'll look back on and like parodies and satires of this time period will make fun of us for that. But this proves it's still alive and well that we're like, oh, you want proof of the afterlife? Yeah, there's an app for that, Jack.
right.
At least we know why Stalin's ghost returned.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a whopper.
Did Mike Cernovich have this app?
He does. He does. And Stalin's he just got a coupon for a Whopper as well.
You know, he thought that was like such a great, like poetic piece of poetry.
Well, is he even referencing something about so-and-so's ghost has returned? Or it's like,
I got to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, Mike Cernovich, that guy.
Fucking asshole. Like, I don't even understand. Whatever. I get it. I used to write, you know, raps back in the day that were very heavy-handed.
I'm always saying shit like that. Lincoln's ghost has returned. Yeah. Kublai Khan's ghost has returned. JonBenet's ghost has returned.
JonBenet's ghost has returned, folks.
JonBenet and Tupac's ghost have returned together.
And they're collabing.
Yeah.
On
this track.
Yeah.
For plump-legged people.
Yes. They're making a sick cameo in this Ghost Adventures episode. Check out their IMDb.
But anyways, this is all just to say congratulations, Burger King, on a Halloween deal that won't alter our fecal matter. That's a step forward.
Just mixed blessing, I guess.
It will. No, I mean, it will alter. Let's be real.
Burger King will alter your fecal matter.
Right.
But all right, let's move from ghosts to aliens.
Yes.
This is so. Yeah. So cue the curb horns. This story is like all I've been thinking about since I read it. But apparently, so scientists during the Cold War decided to create a new mineral that would be a superconductor that they could use to, you know, make the computers on missiles better, presumably. Mm-hmm. And they created two fully man-made minerals, just like noodling in the lab, called headite and brenzenate, I think, because they wanted to ensure I wouldn't know how to pronounce it ever.
Yeah, dude, chemical Twitter is going to come for you, bro.
H-E-I-D-E-I-T-E. We don't need two
Heidi-T. You mean Heidi-T?
Heidi-T, yes.
Heidi-T. And
it's good for your voice when your throat's feeling itchy. Heidi T. It comes from the Swiss Alps.
Heidegger and biscotti.
Yeah. Heidegger and biscotti.
So anyways, they invented this. We're very proud of themselves. And then a few years later, people are like, oh, but these meteorites that have been arriving for 100 years also have that mineral on it. Between 57 and 68, they invented them. And then they started finding them in meteorites, which, you know.
Oh, so like when analyzing meteorites?
Meteorites, they found them. So,
right.
Obviously, that's more of a, you know, you learn a new word and suddenly you're seeing it everywhere phenomenon, or like you are thinking about buying a red car and suddenly you see red cars everywhere, I think is the way, like one of the mental ways people illustrate that. Mental pattern of just, you know, once you know about something, you're going to actually recognize it. But a new scientific paper is saying that actually the creation of these minerals is so specific and unlikely that their existence in meteors suggests that they actually came from extraterrestrial technology. So
I don't know the first thing about this kind of synthesis
technology.
So it was done by like layering, like doing multiple layers of existing, like Heidi-T is made by combining chromium, iron, sulfur, and titanium. And then the other one I think is made by like carefully layering chromium and sulfur. So it could be just that they lack imagination and are like, no way this stuff could be made by anyone except us geniuses.
Right.
It's like, no, it exists. It's just out in space.
Well, is it that we even think that it has to be extraterrestrial because we can't even wrap our heads around that it could have absolutely like naturally formed like that?
Right. So that's what they're trying to like come to terms with. They're like circling back and being like, it's so unlikely that this would have come together given what we know about like how minerals are created. Like there's just no feasible explanation for how this came together. And like it doesn't seem like it's a very popular thesis necessarily, but it does raise a bunch of interesting ideas around that I think are missing from our understanding of what contact with extraterrestrial intelligence is going to be. Like, namely, the big one is that it's more likely that we are going to encounter something like this that is evidence of extraterrestrial life that was around, you know, millions and millions of years ago. Because, like, when you look at how long we've been in existence, it's like such a tiny blip.
Yeah, we're new kids on the block.
We're extremely new kids on the block, and like we don't know how common it is for intelligent life to survive, you know, for millennia and millennia, and you know, for millions of years. So like it seems very possible that the evidence we get might be a piece of crumpled up metal from a spaceship that exploded, like, you know, 100 million.
But we might not even perceive that as a crumpled up piece of metal from a spaceship. It'll be like this interesting substance that we found, and then it's just where then we can begin to be like, well, where the fuck did it come from?
Right.
I bet the scientists 1,000 years from now who sent those metals back in time to prove that time travel is real are so pissed.
Right. They're just like, come on. We gave you all the clues, which they will use that quote because that movie will last the test of time.
They imprint that on a gold disc, shoot it into space, and then it'll come back.
Gold disc. Like, it's just cool. A DVD of that movie they just sent out. They're like, and that is our whole civilization's intelligence on one flat disc. I mean, it's interesting. Like every day, it's like scientists are having more claims that are just sort of leading with the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Like there's one about like Mars where they're like, the Martians may have made themselves extinct with like climate change.
Right.
And it's also like, wait, what? And then you're kind of like reading into like why it's the shift of more like of this possibility is really interesting. Because the other day there was also like a mathematician who I couldn't even begin to explain, but like using like mathematical proofs, trying to conceptualize how it's more likely than not that we are not the only living intelligent beings in the universe. Based right. on like the concept of like abiogenesis or whatever. So I'm just like,
oh. I mean, I hate that trick math.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, what's your birthday minus that by how old you are?
He's using a little fortune teller folded year. Up in paper. Like, all right. Okay. What's your birthday? My birthday is May. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Now pick how many rooms do you want in your home? 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Aliens.
Aliens are real.
I'll take yeah. that.
I mean, they have some of that math, some of that trick math in this article. They, to quote, there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone, and there are potentially trillions of galaxies in addition to ours. Multiply the two, and you get a total population of stars somewhere in the vicinity of one, followed by like, you know, dozens of zeros. So if other galaxies are like our own, most of those stars have at least one planet the size of Earth. And so it just makes sense that it's kind of weird that our science is so skeptical and doesn't like put this on the radar as like one of the possibilities when we're looking at things flying into our solar system from outside of the solar system. You know,
we've all seen the Jodie Foster masterpiece Contact, and they say like if there is no intelligent life out there, it's an awful waste of space. We've all
right.
had that tattooed on our bodies. We all absolutely. Like
where famous theologian, like Time magazine cover theologian Matthew McConaughey is is the person who's saying that. I love the invention of that as a possibility in America, a theologian who is like so hot and cool that they become like the...
Hey, I kind of fuck with aliens too.
Like Joel Austin.
Right.
Joel Austin. Yeah.
What a hunk.
Oh right. Man, those teeth.
But we were like, knowing what we know about the Egyptians and the types of simple machines they had at their disposal, there's no possible way they could have moved these rocks to form the pyramids. Like, then people figure out, oh no, they put it on logs and like rolled it.
Yeah.
Right. Or like the Easter Island things, like, yeah, they kind of walked them. They just rocked them back and forth and they were able to kind of just like get them to move across the island.
You ever That's had to I move a refrigerator couches. By yourself? Yeah, me too. Yeah. You just got to rock it. That would be funny. Like them going back in time and being like, so how did you do it? And they're like, oh, you just kind of.
Rock it a little bit.
Rock it a little bit. I don't know. I don't know how to
buddy
put this.
Some beer, and he came over and helped me.
Yeah, I was like, "Hey, dude, I'll get you breakfast from McDonald's, man, if you come early, dude."
But the idea that we will make first contact with, you know, pollution,
like its arrival,
pollution from alien farms or factories or like just a uninhabited, like. You know, structure that just like kind of drunk drives into our atmosphere or is just like nobody's driving it anymore. And, you know, I think a lot of this interest is coming around Oumuamua coming into our solar system. It's like that giant, I don't know, people call it like a space cruiser size.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a giant rock that is very oblong and not this... shape that something, again, similar to this, like they're like, that's not the shape something would naturally take, like on its own. It's too like long and thin. It's people describe it as like cylindrical and cigar shaped. And then it like sped into our atmosphere going faster than anything should be going. And then like made a right turn and left our atmosphere going just as quickly. So that again, feels like it could be. It might have opened different. There's a Harvard scientist who is like now really interested in this stuff and is constantly getting quoted about like, yeah, we need to. That needs to be one of the primary explanations that we're willing to entertain. So like, that's not, people aren't going to be like, this, that's definitively what this is necessarily, but they are saying like that it feels unscientific to just rule that out at the outset.
I mean, I like that a lot more, saying that like alien stuff would just accidentally show up, and because the assumption that, oh, there must be some aliens flying around, right, thinking, God, we need to find a planet of people who kill each other and once a year shit green.
Right. Right. Okay, guys. So there are aliens and they are obsessed with us.
With our green shit.
Like, that seems to be the automatic assumption once you mention the idea of aliens. Like, oh my God, you guys are so into
us. Oh my God, stop. You guys are so thirsty.
Everybody who says they were Marilyn Monroe in a past life.
Yeah, exactly. I was either Cleopatra or I was Marilyn Monroe. One of the two.
I was Joan of Arc.
Yeah. Those are that's who everybody gets to be. And they're pretty,
I was Joan Van Arc.
I think that was from Coming to America, when that woman puts a lighter over her hand. I was Joan of Arc in a past life. And just like waves her hand over an open flame.
Yeah, yeah, sure. We all were.
Yeah, all right. Keep it moving.
Anyways, so I don't know. This is something we're keeping an eye on. Extraterrestrial life. Evidence of extraterrestrial life that might be boring when it shows up, but the implications could be profound.
Dude, with Blink-182 getting back together?
I know.
I bet that tour is probably going to be some kind of like, we might see some shit. What if Tom DeLonge's like, yo, you guys want to see something fucking wild? And then he just like starts, it's not even a Blink-182 concert. He's like, I'm sorry, I had to use Blink-182 getting back together to spread the fucking truth, okay?
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.